Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
What are we thinking, Hugh?
I think he tried to serve it like what is this, the upbeat Backstreet Boy version?
What?
What is this? Is this like a remix?
You really asking me what this is?
No, I mean, I know the song, but is this like a remix?
Do you like this
song? It feels like a remix.
Do you like this?
I like the original.
Let it
play. That's not, who is that singing? Who is that? That's not Boyz II Men singing.
I literally looked up Motown Philly in the system.
And just played something?
Yeah, that's not, yeah.
All right, well, if we need some help with our music knowledge,
the original. But, I mean, I like the song, but it's not the original.
We're just trying to get a little upbeat here. We got a playoff game tonight in Philadelphia.
Why y'all looking at me like,
threw a complete game.
Why y'all looking at me like, why
raining
are you
on my parade over here, Hugh.
I'm sorry.
My bad.
I thought Elliot was about to come on
well,
the song.
Well, he is.
Yeah, and I thought
I just want to know if you like the song.
Yeah, I like the song. I like the original version.
Well, we'll see what Elliot thinks about all this. And the Eagles, who are down at the NovaCare Complex. OTAs begin today. Elliot Shore Park's call and brought to you by Cozy Jewelers. Step up to the fifth C. That's color, cut, clarity, carrot, and cozy. Elliot, how are we doing today?
Man, you could really hear like the NSYNC Backstreet Boy vibes in that song.
Thank you. That's what I was talking about. I felt
exactly.
that.
That makes it a good song. I mean, that's
all classics. Yes.
Total classic. Yeah. All right, Elliot, a lot to discuss here. We'll end with the Sixers because it is a huge game tonight for them and their chances in the Eastern Conference playoffs against the Miami Heat. But, Elliot, a lot going on in the Eagles' world as we are 8 days away from the draft. Howie and Nick spoke yesterday. I know players were speaking today, and then this Belichick story this morning. Elliot, let's start with yesterday and the press conference with Roseman and Sirianni. What did you make of Howie's answers to the Hassan Reddick questions?
So I think the first one, you know, laying out kind of the depth they have, Bryce Huff, they want Nolan to play more, bringing Josh back. I mean, that's all correct. I think they put themselves in that situation. They elected to sign Bryce Huff. They elected to bring back Josh Sweat. So, you know, it wasn't a situation that they fell into and had to react to. But as to the second one, you know, I was surprised, I guess, that Howie had such issue with the use of the word conditional. I mean, it is a conditional pick. I understand what he's saying, that they will be getting a pick, but it is a pick that has conditions to it. So I think that ultimately probably Howie, you know, who's normally so buttoned up and good at these things, it was surprising to see him go off script or character a little bit. But the Hassan Reddick trade is one that he's probably heard a lot of criticism about. I think he's been under quite a bit of heat for it. So maybe you saw a little bit of his frustration come through with a trade that, while he knows Reddick is a good player, he feels he got good value back for that player.
Did you take anything away from, you know, their potential draft plans? I mean, every team does these, right? The Eagles do it every year, this pre-draft thing. We try to glean from what they're saying, what they're going to do. Obviously, they're not trying to give anything away. Did you take anything away from anything he said yesterday to give you a clue where they might go next week?
Yeah, it's funny with these press conferences, even something you take away from it could be so intentional that it's a lie. You know, they want to use this to, you know, get out there what they want out there. And this part of the year, especially what, you know, GMs and head coaches say publicly, you would think is, you know, playing chess, right? Trying to send a message. But I think if you take them at face value for what they said yesterday, it's pretty clear they see value and feel comfortable in taking a player that won't play right away. They talked about the value that, Jalen Carter has gotten being around Fletcher Cox, the value Cam Jurgens, who spoke today, has gotten about being around Jason Kelce. Those are not players. Obviously, Carter played right away, but Jurgens hasn't been at his full-time position yet until this season. So heading into the draft at 22, could they take a corner or an offensive lineman that doesn't have a clear path to a starting job next year? I think that would be a mistake. I think you want your first-round pick to have a clear path to being a starter. But they see a lot of value in a player sitting and learning from all-time great players.
Elliot, Cooper DeJean making a visit to the Eagles, and he doesn't have much time here because he was injured. He did his pro day a couple weeks ago, so seems like his visits are limited. What do you make of that? And then I was looking on FanDuel this morning, Elliot. They've set his draft number, you could bet over under on a draft position, at 22.5. So he's right basically at the Eagles pick either before or after them. What do you make of the DeJean visit, and what's your thoughts on him now that there's more kind of connecting him to the Eagles?
So I think where players go on their top 30 visits is very noteworthy, especially a player like Cooper DeJean. And, you know, as you mentioned, because of injuries he dealt with this offseason, or recovering, I should say, from last season, he had to be more selective in where he went. I would imagine every team in the first round wanted to bring him in, or at least the majority of them. And so the fact that he picked the Eagles as one of, I believe it was four visits he made, is very noteworthy. It tells me that his team, his agent, and him feel the interest from the Eagles is real. The Eagles certainly probably made them feel that way to get him to come to Philadelphia. As for him being the pick at 22, I could see why he would make sense. He's someone that I don't want to say doesn't have a clear position, because obviously he's a defensive back, but some people think he'd be best at outside corner. Some teams think he'd be best at safety. You know, he can play nickel. So there's a lot you can do with him. For me, my concern with him would be, if I'm taking someone in the first round, and I know everyone's a projection, so you can't say for sure, but you look at certain players and go, I know that he can get after the quarterback at a high level. I know that he can be a great offensive tackle. And when it comes to corners, I need to know that they can play press man coverage. If I'm just going to get a zone corner that's going to drop back and play 10 yards off, I can get those corners later in the draft. So while Cooper DeJean is considered a great athlete, he has very little tape, or at least amongst the top corners in this draft, of being a press man outside corner. And that's my concern with him. Great athlete, great potential. I don't know if he's great at one thing or just good at a lot of things, and that's not what I'm looking for in the first round.
When you're down to the press conference, did you get any type of feel of where you think the Eagles might go with that first round draft pick? Because I've been hearing a lot about offensive linemen, not so much about defensive linemen. So did you get a kind of any feel about where you think they could potentially go?
So I think if the board breaks their way and what they want to do, I think they want to take an offensive lineman. And it could be two different types of offensive linemen. One could be a guard, a J.C. Latham, you know, one of the guards out of Oregon State or Washington that can play guard but are projected to are able to move to tackle. So In an ideal world, they get someone that starts at guard next season, and then when Lane retires, whenever that is, they feel potentially could move to the outside, or even if Lane gets injured, maybe you move him. So I think they want position versatility from their offensive lineman. But if it's not one of those players, I do think they see this class, and correctly so, as very deep at offensive tackle with lots of interesting prospects. There's Mims out of Georgia. There's a really good pass-blocking offensive tackle out of Penn State. Those guys are not projected to be able to play guard. But at 22, if he's going to sit for a year or two, maybe they think they're good enough athletes to develop. So this is a very unpredictable draft. Howie said yesterday he has a pretty good feeling on who he thinks the top 25 players will be. But what order they go in is really hard to predict. So I think they want an offensive lineman, but have to be open to a lot of different scenarios.
Elliot Sher Parks joining us here as we talk about the Eagles draft next. We'll get to the Sixers. Elliot, let's hit the story, though, this morning. And I kind of was wondering if one of these stories was coming. Like, what the heck happened with the Bill Belichick coaching search this offseason? He didn't get a job. All these guys that, like, Dave Canales got a job with the Panthers. Who the heck's Dave Canales, right? So, like, what happened here that the guy that has all these rings didn't get a job? A lot in this story about structure, about GMs and power and all that kind of stuff. But, Elliot, there was a part of it, a lot of it, about the Eagles. One, that he'd be interested in this job next year if it was open. But two, that they investigated. Like, they really did it. Roseman spoke to Belichick. Now, they made it seem like it wasn't necessarily about the job, but they spoke. What did you take away from the story? And do you think it's out of left field that they talked through it, and now it's public that they talked through the idea of Belichick instead of Sirianni?
So I think you have to view this as Belichick and not looking into a head coach. Belichick being available is a unique situation. So many times with the Eagles, after a player signs or a player becomes a free agent, you hear that the Eagles are involved, and people are always surprised. Wow, I'm surprised they're doing the homework on him. Or, you know, the Eagles like to do their research on everything. They do it with players. They do it with draft picks. It's why they've had so many receivers come in, why they've shown interest in receivers, despite the fact that they don't really have a huge need at starting receiver, at least on the outside. So with Belichick, I think that they wanted to do research into him. Now, they wouldn't have done this research last year. Like, coming off the Super Bowl, I don't think they would have looked into Bill Belichick. Maybe Howie still calls him. Maybe Lurie asked around just for fun. But obviously, with Sirianni's job status somewhat up in the air, it's noteworthy they did it. Reading that article and everything we know about Belichick that's been reported, I think there is 0.0% chance they were ever going to hire Bill Belichick. He doesn't fit what they want in a head coach. I don't think he's a culture fit. We've heard them talk so much about culture this offseason. There's no way he's a culture fit. I don't think Lurie would enjoy working with him. So it's noteworthy they looked into it, but I don't think it was they were close to hiring Bill and pick Nick. I think they looked into Bill out of interest, just out of, you know, curiosity, and what they found probably pretty quickly led them to believe he was not a fit here.
All right, let me ask you this then, moving forward. Forget just Belichick. Should it be worrisome that they didn't think he lost his fastball but thought he wouldn't fit? Because the way I took that is you got to fit the way we do things here, collaborative. Like, it almost feels like it's not about the best coach, because it said in there they still think he's got his fastball as a coach. It's about how you fit us as an organization. Is that a worry?
So I don't think so, because I think what you did there is separate being a good football mind from being someone that people get along with in the building. I think those are both almost equally important qualities. We could go back and debate, you know, is it more important to be better X's and O's or more a leader of men guy? That's a debate we have every time they hire a head coach. But if they could think Belichick still is good at game planning, and, you know, the game plan they used against their offense was impressive. But I truly believe, especially after watching Doug and Nick be head coaches, that it does matter how you interact with people. It matters that who they have at head coach gets along with Howie Roseman, because Howie is good at his job. It matters how your head coach gets along with the players, because ultimately they're the ones that have to go out there and play. So I think sometimes we do this where, well, they just hired Nick because he gets along with people in the building. Well, that's a really important quality. I mean, we all work in different offices. It matters how you interact with people and how people feel about you. If Belichick maybe is viewed as a better X's and O's mind than Sirianni, but everybody hates playing with him, and Robert Kraft is saying he's untrustworthy and he was going to bring in staff no one wanted, that matters more than X's and O's. So I see your point about hiring the best guy. I just think too often we separate the important qualities of what makes the best guy the best guy.
Yeah, it sounds to me more like baseball now with the manager than the way we used to talk about football coaches.
Yeah, it's changed. I feel like it's changed.
Maybe it's that's the way it is now in the NFL. All right, Elliot, let's end with tonight. 7 o'clock, the Sixers and the Heat. The play-in game. Elliot, give me confident, nervous. How you feeling about this thing tonight?
Well, obviously, I'm terrified. I don't see how anybody could not be terrified.
Thank you. I'm sitting here, people are telling me they're going to win by 30 points. It's crazy.
There is not a single team that would be a tougher matchup in this exact spot than the Miami Heat. Does not mean the Heat are the best team, but the Sixers' biggest weakness, it's not a roster weakness. They have arguably the best team in the NBA when fully healthy and playing to full strength. The Sixers' weakness is, in these exact moments, we've seen them come up small. The Miami Heat's strength is, in these exact moments, we have seen them come up big overall. So I think the Sixers are the better team. I think there's a chance they win by 20 because they're just that much more talented. But we've watched way too much Joel Embiid-led Sixers basketball not to think that at some point in their first quarter or fourth quarter, we're going to be thinking, oh, my God, here we go again. So I think they'll win. But of course I'm terrified by this game. I think everyone should be terrified.
Thank you, Elliot.
At some point we got to stop living in the past.
Living in the past? We're living in reality.
Yeah, but it's the past.
It's not the past. It's the only information we have.
Joel Embiid is healthy now.
Oh, there it is.
Until he proves me wrong, I'm a ride with the Big Five.
All right, Elliot.
Yeah, they were better than the Hawks. They were better than the Raptors.
I ain't asked you for all that history. I ain't asked for no history. This ain't no history class. This is a radio show.
Yeah, but
well,
you know,
I wasn't good at history, so that makes sense.
Not history. It just happened. All right, Elliot, we appreciate it. We'll talk soon. Thank you.
Yep, talk to you later.
There he goes. See, eventually we needed to bring a basketball guy in here.
No,
to
I mean,
some,
I get it. I get
let,
it.
To add some reality
I get
to
it.
This.
I get it.
You guys are in the clouds.
And it's that, what's they call it, once bitten, twice shy? Like, I get it. I understand why everybody's a little bit.
How about after five times? What are you? I'm hiding under the bed.
Listen, I was
pillows
in Atlanta.
Pillows over my eyes.
I was in Atlanta
no,
when
don't,
that
don't
that
do
player.
This. Don't
what
do this.
What are you
talking about? You said don't bring up the past. Now you're bringing up the worst one. Game 7 against the Hawks. It was the worst one.
I was like, wow. Like, Ben said, like, I was like, I remember sitting there watching that game, and I was like, oh, yeah, they're going to kill him tomorrow. He's going to get killed tomorrow.
And you want me to sit here and be confident?
No, I'm just saying, sometimes you got to let some of that stuff in the past just stay in the past.
Well, and a lot of it is, right? Simmons is long gone. Harden's long gone. They have a different team now. And I agree with a lot of what you said, you know, that this team is different. The coach is different.
Feels different.
But there is one similar thing.
Joel Embiid.
Yes. There's a common denominator in all of these disappointments. It's the big fella.
And the fact that he's sitting here and he used to throw teammates under the bus and stuff. That's not the Joel. I haven't seen that Joel Embiid this year. Is it fair to say that? And part of the reason why he haven't seen that Joel Embiid, because he was hurt.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think the role of his teammates play a lot into that. So I am betting on that we're not going to see Joel Embiid throw anybody under the bus.
Look, guys, I think they're going to win tonight. I think they're better than Miami. They should win this game. I think the idea of Nurse here gives it about, you know, he evens the playing field against Spoelstra, who's a tremendous coach. But I'd be lying, and I think Elliot framed it right. You'd be crazy not to be nervous tonight. The fact that I have people saying they're going to win by 40 points makes me a little nervous.
That's that Philly thing, though. That's that, like, to have that kind of belief. That's that Philadelphia.
Yeah, I told you last time that people had this kind of belief, it was against the Chiefs when I was told they were going to blow the doors off the Kansas City Chiefs in a Super Bowl. 215-592-9495. Our lot to discuss here. The Belichick thing, Hassan Reddick. You know, I thought yesterday Howie was really not himself with the way he answered that question.
A little cheeky.
It's just odd. I mean, Howie's usually really good. Like, sometimes he's a little awkward and the kind of forced humor in these press conferences. Like, he tries to be a comedian sometimes, but, you know, I think it comes from a place of he's having fun. He doesn't seem combative.
Yeah.
This was different. It was a different Howie. Makes me think deep down he didn't really want to trade Hassan Reddick. He boxed himself into a corner, and then he did. And, of course, big Phillies win last night. Go for the sweep tonight. And tonight's game. I mean, it's the biggest Sixers game we've had here since Game 7 last year, and it will set the tone for this entire postseason. If they win, you could see it. You could see the runway to a deep run in the postseason. And if tonight goes the wrong way, I mean, you know, we're going to be done talking Sixers, I think, in a week and a half.
Yeah, it's going to be – I don't believe that.
They're going to beat the Celtics in the first round? If they can't beat the Heat at home?
Yeah, I believe they can. Yes, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to die on that hill as well.
Then why show up tonight? Take the night off.
No, we're not. I'm just saying. We want the better path, but I don't feel like you should shy away from either path. Whatever path you have to take, that's the path you take. You know, you're ready for the win, but you're prepared for the loss. But I'm ready for the win.
That sounds like how I'm feeling. I mean, just summed me up very well. Yeah.
No, I'm just saying, take it how it comes. That's how I look at it. Because you're not dead in the water in this situation. But it would be nice to win tonight. And I think that they will.
You know what it would do? Here's what it would do. You're right. I mean, obviously.
Confidence.
Well, the way the town feels about the team is all based on tonight. I mean, come on. You might think they're going to beat the Celtics. If they can't beat the Heat at home, very few people out there will believe they'll beat the Celtics. But they win tonight, it changes a lot. Jabbo's in Horsham. What's up, Jabbo? Jabbo. Going once? All right, Jabbo. We'll get him back up.
This is a joke, quite frankly.
Jabbo.
Yeah.
I mean, I literally. Whatever.
Tyrone, what's up, Tyrone?
Hey, good morning, guys. How's it going?
Good, Tyrone. What's up, pal?
Yeah, I called up the other day, and Tom Kelly was in. I was like, where's Joe?
Yeah, I was out on Monday. I just needed to regroup before the
– You need to recalibrate before you came back to this foolishness.
Yeah, that's right. I'm here now.
Okay. Cool. Yeah. Yeah, glad to have you back. But yeah, good topic. I'd like to make a quick point about Joel Embiid, something I read where I think is a stark difference. I want to see if you guys agree. And it's the same thing that I like about Ranger Suarez's mental makeup, because he's always so calm and composed on the mound. But Joel, he made something about he was anxious to play every game leading up to the playoffs, play-in or whatever, because he wanted to get ready for the playoffs.
Well, I think he's in a different mindset now, Tyrone. I mean, I the fact that he came back and looked as good as he did when he came back, I was surprised. I mean, I thought it would take him more time to kind of look himself, and he was close. He was close to his normal self almost right away, which was encouraging.
Yes, and also the fact that they have a different coach who may have fostered a different mindset within the team, and also they have three centers this year, including Joel, so they have depth. And they have Batum, 6'10". He backs up Harris. You know, they have depth at the three and at the point guard. And he has somewhat – and Tyrese Maxey, most of all, most importantly, what is this, his third or fourth year?
Drafted, I believe, November 2021. I think something like that, because the draft was November that year. So, yeah, he's at that point of his career now, Tyrone, where he's maturing. He's not a kid anymore. Now he's a legitimate star player.
Exactly, and I look to him to provide a whole different gear. And I tell you, man, and I don't know if just say, look, this is like cutting a piece of cake. I'm grabbing a slice of cake. That's literally with his talent. That's how easy it can be sometimes. So it's a good thing. And I'd like to make a quick comment on Howie in the press conference.
Yeah, what'd you think yesterday?
Well, when I was, I think Howie, he didn't like the fact that maybe the perception is reality in some sense. And I think for the first time, it's almost like he got the short end of the stick. And I think it you saw it, a little twinge in his side when he was speaking about Hassan. But on the flip side with Hassan, I think that when players look more at the game like a business, these are the kind of things that happen when they move from team to team and so on and so forth. Because, I'm not begrudging them, but I don't know. That's why I like to have players that are drafted as an Eagle and sort of develop that bond from youth. And I think they normally have a different mindset.
We've seen a lot of that. I mean,
independent contractors.
Yeah, the guys that have stayed here their whole careers. Tyrone, we appreciate the phone call. I think Tyrone hit it. I mean, Howie, I think he probably feels like people think he did a bad job on this deal. And he was reactionary yesterday. By the way, big news out of the NBA. Jonte Porter, remember the player that was he was accused of maybe throwing some games that he bet on himself to the under.
Yeah.
Shots or, points or whatever. He was just levied a lifetime ban from the NBA for gambling.
Oh.
Lifetime. Oh. Gone. This whole thing was inevitable once legalized gambling came into this country, that eventually a player or two or three would do something stupid, right? It was Calvin Ridley. It was Isaiah Rodgers. That's basically why the Eagles were able to get him for nothing, because Isaiah Rodgers had to miss the season. But this is the biggest one. I mean, this is a huge deal. A lifetime.
Lifetime. Like, he can't, yeah.
Now, he's not a good player, but this just sets a precedent.
Yeah, and it's one of those things where, I mean, when I think, like, you've just lost your stream of income. You could have played for at least, I don't know how good of a player he was, but I would say it wouldn't be a stretch to be like a utility player for like at least 10 seasons.
Not anymore. He's gone.
You know what I mean? Yeah, that's a wrap.
Kiss well, I think these leagues have to do this because they have to make sure the players aren't doing this, so they put down.
And they understand the weight of what they're doing. Yeah, I'm with you.
Yeah, I admit it's stands out like, man, a lifetime ban. 215-592-9494. It's how you hop aboard. All right, we'll do a very, very apt and timely What If Wednesday on the other side. Your phone calls, confident or nervous about tonight? I mean, I totally agree with Elliot. Like, if you're not nervous, I think you just have been pretending the last, couple years that these things don't go this way. I have nervous energy for this game tonight. Until they tip it, until they have a lead, then I'll kind of settle in. But I have nervous energy. Hugh is very confident in Joel Embiid and the Sixers tonight. Kyle thinks they're going to win by 10-plus. A lot of confidence out there. Of course, the Belichick thing, Rangers Suarez dominant last night. 215-592-9494. It's the Midday Show on Sports Radio 94 WIP. The NBA play-in tournament gives teams a chance to play their way into the postseason. So it only seems right that new customers on FanDuel can play their way into $150. Just place any $5 bet, and you'll get $150 of bonus bets, win or lose, to use during the NBA playoffs. Bet on three-pointers, over-unders, first basket score, and more. FanDuel.com/GIGLIO to get started. I'm over tonight on Butler points, over on Embiid, over on Maxey, the under on Tobias Harris points tonight. That's FanDuel.com/GIGLIO. Make every moment more in partnership with Valley Forge Casino. Official sports betting.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Tobias Harris over me?
Yeah, today felt like the right day for this one. A what-if Wednesday on the Midday Show. Well, today is one that I think people have wondered since the minute it happened, Hugh, and that is what if the Sixers chose Jimmy Butler? Now, I do think we have to reframe this because it's been framed as Jimmy Butler or Tobias Harris. That really wasn't the decision. It was Jimmy Butler or Ben Simmons.
Yeah, that's what I.
Yeah, that's really what it was. And then Tobias just happened to be re-signed along with the whole process and the whole thing they did there. And clearly now, in retrospect, because we are past the iteration of Ben and then past the iteration of what they traded Ben for in James Harden, it was a mistake. They would have been better off just keeping Jimmy Butler. Now, here's the question. What if? Like, what would have happened to the Sixers franchise had they kept Jimmy Butler? So they would have paired Butler and Embiid for the last, you know, handful of seasons.
I would at least think making it to the finals at least once.
That is my first thought too.
Yeah,
I don't
at least make it to the final.
I am not positive there actually would be a championship here. Jimmy hasn't won one, and Embiid is struggling in the playoffs.
Yeah, Jimmy's gone farther so far in his career than Embiid. Yeah.
So we're talking about four full seasons with Jimmy gone, and this is the fifth one now. Here are the teams that won the Eastern Conference in those years: Jimmy Butler in the bubble, then the Bucks, then the Celtics, and then Jimmy Butler again. Would one of those four have been the Sixers? Would we have had an NBA Finals appearance if Butler had stayed?
Feels like it.
I think yes. Now, obviously, a lot of other things would have changed, right? Like, what would they have done with Ben? I mean, that's the other part of this. What could they have traded Ben for at that time to add to this team? Like, they could have created the best team in the NBA if things had broken the right way and they made the right trade. I'm not sure they would have made the right trade. I mean, this team made a lot of mistakes. I just feel like now that we know what we know, Hugh, so much would be different, including, think about the way we would talk about Joel Embiid. If he has been to the finals, we probably wouldn't talk about him the same way.
Not in the way that we have been. And then you have another guy that doesn't mind deferring, I would think, and not mind taking over when it's needed to take over, it's Jimmy Butler.
You know, all
yeah, I'm with that.
Think about how much just bad nights we would have saved ourselves from. Like the Game 7 against the Hawks that Hugh brought up. That game wouldn't have happened.
No, because Jimmy would have taken over.
Harden and Embiid last year in Game 7 on Mother's Day, just ruining Mother's Day for everyone. That wouldn't have happened last year. Now, again, there's so many different butterfly effects. Do they draft Tyrese Maxey? I don't know. There might be a total different draft pick, and the whole thing is different. But my gut is, yes, they would have appeared in the NBA Finals out of the Eastern Conference.
We wouldn't have as much trepidation as we had.
No. So Jimmy has been in two of the last four NBA Finals since he left. Giannis was in one of the others, and the Celtics in the other. Kyle, your gut on this, if Jimmy stayed, would the Sixers have at least made a Finals?
I would say we become the Philadelphia third rounders as opposed to the Philadelphia second rounders.
So close.
Yeah, I don't think Jimmy Butler's like an automatic ticket to the NBA Finals. Like, we did have him in 2019 on this team. Like, we have evidence of what it was like with Joel Embiid and Jimmy Butler.
But Joel's a better player now than he was
then. Yes, but the Sixers around those two players were better than they are this year, right now. I think
Ben was still viable.
Sure,
Redick
yeah.
was a good shooter.
Like the one holdup I have about this whole thing is that we had a coach who was a moron. And that might have held us back a little bit.
That's a good point. It certainly would have. Hold on. He also might have been gotten out of here earlier if Jimmy was here.
I've been around a long time. Trust that.
Yeah, well, I'll trust that. Would they? All right, let's lower the bar. All right, you say third round. So we all agree they would have been out of the second round. We've been past that.
I think so.
I would think so. Yeah, I think so.
Just like, I think it's almost addition by subtraction without Ben that year where he folded against the Hawks, and even James Harden last year.
Well, yeah, I'm glad you said it. It's not even the longing for Jimmy. It's that we wouldn't have had to watch Ben and Harden in the playoffs.
It's the people you don't have to deal with.
Right. I mean, they played like they rolled over like dogs in those games. The game 7 that Hugh brought up against Atlanta is the worst moment I've ever seen an NBA player have.
That was bad. That was hard to watch.
I mean, he couldn't dunk over. He just was standing.
Celebrate him. Celebrate all the stuff he does well.
I will not. And then Harden last year, quit.
Yeah, they both. That game 7 was rough. That was rough.
Rough day. It was awful.
It was awful.
Well, hopefully tonight we start changing all that. Our What If Wednesday there, if Jimmy Butler had stayed, I think they would have made a finals. Kyle thinks third round. He was with me at least one finals appearance. The last 4 years, Jimmy's made two finals, Celtics won, and the Bucks won. 215-592-9494. It's how you hop board. Lots to discuss here on the Sixers tonight. Confident, nervous, where do you lie on the game tonight? I think we all agree it's a legacy game for Joel. I mean, this is a standalone game.
You got to get it done. Get her done.
Has to. He has to play great tonight. Especially because I keep hearing that he's healthy. He's fully healthy and all those things. Well, all right, we'll dominate tonight. Dominate like the player that we expect you to be. And the path is clear for the Sixers. If they could get through this game, it is a challenging series against the Knicks, but a winnable one. And they'll beat the Bucks or the Pacers in the second round if they get there. Let's go to Joe in the Northeast. Hey, Joe.
What up, Joe?
Hey, Joe. How you doing?
Good, Joe.
You know, some of your coworkers say sometimes if you're scared, get a dog. And I think you need to get a dog, Joe, because I watched the Heat recently, and Rozier was not in the lineup. And if Tyler Hero has to be the point guard, then we're the Sixers are in real good shape, because you know he reminded me the way that Kolick from Marquette used like to probe, used to probe the defense, come back out. But he had so many turnovers in that game that I watched of him. You know, I know he's a scorer and all, but he's no point guard. And if he runs the point tonight rather than Butler, like I said, the Sixers are going to expose him.
Well, I hope you're right. Joe, I do agree with you that Rozier not being in there is certainly a loss for them. He's helped them since he got there. And I'll say this. I already have a dog, Joe, and she's scared tonight too. So we're scared together.
Yeah, well, you know, Rozier had hurt the, when he was with Boston, he hurt the Sixers because they had nobody to guard him then, you know. You know, with one of the commentators I was listening to, I always wanted to see Paul Reed play a little bit opposite with Embiid in the lineup. And you know, apparently in one of these games that did happen a little bit, and I'll tell you why. When they match up with down the line, hopefully they're going to match up with Boston. They have to know how are they going to defend Tatum, Brown, and that guard White, because that White kills us.
He's a very good player. I think he's one of the more underrated players in the league. He's a good player,
yeah,
Derek White.
And, you know, I think Nurtz, but Joe, you take notice what he always does to us. He goes to the offensive glass, White does. Gets many rebounds. And hopefully with Nurtz as the coach, they'll expose when he goes to the board that we're going to have our guard. So that means there's only Holiday back there. Well, we got to get the board and get the fast break going, you know, with him going to the glass, because you can go watch over his many games that he played against the Sixers. Besides hitting the outside shot, he likes to go to the offensive boards, and they gotta punish him when he does that.
I agree. I mean, it's the kind of thing that I'm sure Nick Nurse will notice and adjust to. Something that Doc wouldn't do. And Joe, we appreciate it. Good phone call. And that's why, like, you think about the runway in the Eastern Conference. If the Sixers get the win over Miami, they beat the Knicks, they win the next series, I think there will be a feeling that they are ready to compete and beat the Celtics then. I just want a month to get this thing ready to beat the Celtics.
Yeah, and you want a month to get Joel Embiid's, you know, get him up to speed, if you will.
Yeah.
But I think the confidence is there. I think the confidence is there with his teammates, knowing that the big fella is the son, and they're the planets that evolve around the sun. So I think it's that. We just need to get him up to speed, man. I just go back to the time when he came back and the guys were excited, and how they've been playing in games that he's missed. They play with a little bit more enthusiasm. They're fun to watch now. When Joel Embiid was hurt and he wasn't out there,
it was bad.
It was tough. Yeah. It was a tough thing to watch. But now that he's here, they know that the Calvary's coming. I just feel like everything is going to fall in line for them. And I don't think that his teammates are going to allow Joel Embiid to have some of those games like he had last year.
Well, and also he has to will himself through bad moments. It's what Joel has struggled with in the past. It's not talent. It's not ability. He just he gets down. Like when things go bad, like go back to the game 7 last year against the Celtics. He just checked out mentally, right? Like he's got to fight through. There's going to be a moment tonight, maybe first quarter, maybe second quarter, where the Heat take a 5-point lead. It's probably going to happen. just fight through it. Like, don't put your head down. Fight through it. Go make a play. Don't compound mistakes. Because that's what happened. That Boston game in Game 7 last year, the game wasn't that far out of hand.
It fell apart towards the end.
I forget what it was, like a 10 or 15 minute span of real time. The lead went from like Celtics by 8 to Celtics by 28. It was like, what just happened here? It was like crazy because they let it get out of hand. Tonight shouldn't get like that. The Heat aren't that great. They're a play-in team, as Kyle said, for a reason. So just fight through the tough moments, and the Sixers should win. They're better.
Yeah, and plus, I think when they were talking about who's going to probably be the point guard, Patty Mills is going to probably have to come in and take who was he talking about?
Rozier is out.
But looking at the lineup, Tyler Hero is probably going to run the point, and Patty Mills is going to come in and play that shooting guard. He's only averaging like 4 points a game.
So well, yeah, I expect Butler to handle the ball.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd be surprised if it's not Butler. Primarily has the ball in his hand the whole game.
You know what the funny thing is that hasn't been brought up at all today?
What's that?
The Heat are a play-in for now the second year in a row. Last year they were the 8th seed. Does anyone remember why the Miami Heat were the 8th seed?
Well, the only way you become the 8th seed is either you're 9-10 and you work your way to 8, or you're 7-8 and you work your way backwards.
Yeah. The Heat did the latter and lost to the Atlanta Hawks in a one-game play-in for the 7 seed last year. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to point that out for all everyone who's like shaking in fear about playoff Jimmy Butler, who couldn't even beat the Atlanta Hawks in Miami, by the way. I'm just saying.
I mean, it's a good point to bring up.
Okay. I just wanted to get that out.
So they lost to a team they were better than in the 7-8 game.
Yeah.
Well, that's part of why I'm nervous. That could happen.
Yeah, I'm not nervous.
It's a good point, though, by Kyle. This team is – they are – the Heat are a weird team where they never seem to dominate the regular – actually, 2 years ago, they were the one seed. But
right, they're taking off, and then they surge in the playoffs.
Yeah,
they stagger their years. This, we got them in an off year. We should still be throwing a parade.
Yeah, that's true. We did get him in off. When's the on year for Joel in the playoffs?
Hopefully it's this year.
Oh. It's year, baby.
Hopefully it's this year.
Let's go.
Hopefully
year 10. Let's do it.
Let's go, Hugh.
I'm with it.
I am with it.
All right. Omar is in Delaware. What's up, Omar?
Gentlemen, how you doing today?
Good, Omar. What's up?
Listen, man, I'm not worried about those guys. Jimmy right now, he's done, man. He's at the end of his career. He doesn't have any lift. He doesn't have any explosive. You guys ever notice whenever he gets to the lane, he's just pump faking now, trying to draw contact, like Kyle Lowry.
Well, I would say he's not – Kyle Lowry's more washed than Jimmy, but I hear your point. The athleticism isn't what it was 5 years ago. I know.
Right, he's just trying to bait the refs and bait people into fouling, but he is still a dog. I'm gonna give him that. He still is a competitor, but you know, NBA is about talent.
Windshield wipers.
It's not like wipers. It's raining out there.
I'm sorry. It's my windshield wipers. I'm driving.
Yeah, that's all right. Safety first, Robert.
Omar, you need to go get some more wipers, dog. Like seriously.
You know, man, one of these days, when I get y'all salary, I'm gonna go ahead and do that.
No, you know what, Omar? You're not about to do that. Wipers don't cost. That's about $20, dog.
Anyway, but yeah, and so I'm not scared at all tonight. I ain't scared at all. And the other thing about if Jimmy would have stayed, you know, there's a lot of moving parts on that one.
Sure.
And the other thing I'll just say, you know, we had to look at the coaches, and you know, if he would have stayed with Brett Brown, had stayed, because Brett Brown was getting outcoached every single postseason.
My guess is Brett would have been out of here sooner if Jimmy was here. Jimmy would have got him out.
Yeah, but I would say we would have at least got to one Eastern Conference Finals.
I would definitely. I mean, if not, then they would be crazy. Because the two of them together should have got there. Omar, we appreciate it. Go get those windshield wipers checked out.
Yeah, you got to get some windshield wipers.
Well, it's just for personal safety. I mean,
Omar talk, but then he go try to say, Omar. I mean, the windshield wipers don't cost that much. You can go like to what's that?
AutoZone
or someone like that.
I got to tell you, that's something that would wear me down if I were in my car and my windshield wipers constantly sounded like that. I'd lose it.
To be fair, it's probably because it's like sprinkling and they get a little dry. That's probably what the wipe is.
And he just had them on full.
And it was like kind of dry. So it probably was that. But yeah, that would be a little bit annoying.
I'd be taking action.
That's the kind of noise that it can grate.
That
on
has
you.
Yeah.
I mean, it was grating on us just for a 2 minute phone call.
I mean, I was about to lose it back here.
So I got to push back a little bit on the idea that Jimmy's fully washed. He's not fully washed.
I don't understand. But people's definition of washed is different because Kyle said Belichick was washed.
Yeah.
So I mean, everybody
I actually think Belichick's closer to Washington.
Hugh Douglas washed
as a player. Yeah, totally washed.
I mean, you do anything for us?
He washed 2 decades ago.
He just wanted to play that cut, man.
I mean, what are we paying for?
Washed rankings, okay? Hugh number one. Belichick 2, Jimmy 3.
Catches strays. Pew, pew, pew.
Here's the I do agree that Jimmy's not as athletic as he used to be. He did shoot a career high from three. He's got that more of an old man game now, where he'll just stand out there and knock some threes down. So that's more of a worry tonight than him going to the
basket. All of his other numbers down, though. Sure.
So his three-point percentage is way up. He was never a really good three-point. And this year is over 40%. Shooting percentage down from last year. His free throw percentage, about the same as last year. Yeah, some of the numbers are down. Assists are a little down. Rebounds a little down. Yeah, I would say he's declining, right? I mean, he had 22.9 points again last year. This year, 20.8. Yeah. He's 34 now. I mean, we're moving away. I think last year was Butler's last run. I mean, I don't think, even if the Heat, you know, whatever, they win tonight or they win get the eight seed, I don't think this Heat team is going to make a big run again. It's just I'm nervous for one game. If the Sixers played the Heat in a 7-game series, I would feel a lot better. I don't think the Heat really
is just this one night.
Yeah, it's because it's the nature of the way the setup is. One night changes a lot. Robert in Germantown, what's up, Robert?
Hey guys, how's it going?
Good, Robert. How are you?
Well, you know, just working in the bunker, listening to the three of you, having a merry old time as always.
Well, we appreciate that. We're having a merry old time too. What are you thinking?
Well, I agree with you on Hassan Reddick. Of course, I've said that before. I mean, it's a totally unacceptable answer that he gave. I mean, come on, really? I mean, what I don't understand, guys, answer me this. If you're playing on a contract, you have a year to go, and you're that age, why wouldn't you play no matter what and show the world that you're worth a bigger contract? Why would the Eagles not keep him if they had under control for a year?
I know.
Maybe he was such a malcontent. I mean, that's the only plausible reason they just figured had to get rid of this guy. He was just too damaging to what they're trying to do culture-wise.
Yeah, Tommy didn't favor Hassan Reddick as far as that's concerned because he's on the wrong side of 30. And unfortunately, you know, they'll tell you what you want to hear until it's time to negotiate, and you're going to turn 30, and that's not going to really be great for you.
Yeah, Robert, I think the Eagles would have won a stare down eventually, just the way the NFL rules work with the holdouts. Like, he would have had to come back and play. Now, I'm not saying he would have been thrilled, but like you said, he would have had to come back, and if he played well, he could have got it paid next year. So he would have played this year if they'd kept him.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I don't understand, but, well, neither here. Who we could have traded for to go with Jimmy Butler? Here's an idea for it. Back in the day. Why didn't we trade Simmons for our guy James Harden? Would that be fun?
Well, we lived that. Well, actually, you know, they could have maybe traded Simmons for a younger James Harden. I'm not sure how it would have worked, but maybe that could have worked. But yeah, there was a whole slew of possibilities if they moved on from Ben earlier, but they did not.
Well, tonight will tell us how serious Joel Embiid is about having any kind of legacy where he doesn't disappear in a meaningful game. I mean, but you know, the problem is, you know that Spoelstra is a very good coach. It's going to be like the college basketball championship. He's going to let Embiid have 30, 40 points. He's not going to be worried about it. My prediction is going to come down to how Tobias Harris plays, and that should scare all of us.
Oh, no, Robert. I mean, the only guy that's confident Tobias Harris is sitting to my right. I mean, that's...
No, I'm just saying.
Crumble cookie.
You know, they're going to make Tobias Harris beat us. They're going to shut down Maxey penetrating. They're going to... Let Embiid have his points. They're going to force Embiid out of double teams to pass it to an open Harris all night long. If Harris hits his shots, he's going to be open, guys. We win. If Harris is a turkey and he shoots like 2 for 15 or 2 for 20, could be exciting.
I said he's going to have 4 tonight. I'll
4 points. His over-under on FanDuel, Robert, we appreciate the call, is 14.5 points.
I gave him 8.
Yeah. I will bet the under on the Tobias.
I gave him 8.
I mean, seriously, tonight, Nick Nurse should not mess around. If Tobias, it looks like he has...
He can't afford to wait around and see if he's going to get hot.
Get him off the court. They play better without him down the stretch. Your guy, Oubre, is the guy I want. I'd rather have the ball in his hand.
Yeah, I like Kelly. I think Kelly's going to... I like Kelly the way that he plays with enthusiasm. He's been playing with a lot of enthusiasm.
Kelly has a thing about him where it's almost like he doesn't realize he's Kelly Oubre. He plays with a little more confidence than you would think based on his career.
Really? That's the way you describe it?
Yeah.
Hey, I'm not Kelly Oubre. I'm LeBron James or somebody like that.
I kind of like that, though. He's got a little bravado to him. Kelly Oubre goes to the basket like he's a great player, even though he's a pretty good player.
I mean, he's been playing hard, man.
Yeah.
I gave you my prediction for Tobias.
How many again?
20.
Probably helps the fact that,
it's, you know, points or minutes?
Still don't know why he got beat up in Center City, though. But I don't know about that.
Yeah, we've all moved on from that. I don't know if he has.
I don't know.
You haven't moved on from the Kelly Oubre thing, but you talked yourself into Reddick.
Because I'm nosy, and I just want to know.
So am I. I want to know really why happened. The Eagles' best defender's not here.
I just want to know what happened, really. How did you get beat up, Mike, in Center City?
I actually kind of forgot the whole thing happened.
I did.
I know. You
did a good job. That was one of the better Sixers bury jobs.
You got,
and they've had to bury a lot. Let's be real.
And I just brought it back up. Shout out to Philadelphia's Finest for suppressing that story.
You think they suppressed it? I think Kelly did.
Well, it was, you know, he told us to move on. But I still want to know why you got beat up.
I just want him to hit the shots when he gets the shots.
Like, listen, you play well tonight, dog. I'm not going to ask that question ever again.
That's all I need. I need
if you don't play
well
tonight, 15 points, then I'm asking that question tomorrow.
15 is your number for Kelly?
Yeah, 15. And if not, then I'm asking what happened.
Well, you should go to the game. Go be a Dave Uran. Be a dog reporter. Get down there.
I'm definitely not going to do that.
No?
I'm going to leave the hard-hitting questions to my man Dave Uram because he does such a great job of it, you know. I just want to sit back and watch the game and enjoy it.
So I'm not quite sure if it's Reporter of the Year or Insider of the Year, but I wonder if Uram's going to give Howard a little run for his money here. I mean, when I listen to these press conferences, I'm hearing the tough questions come from Dave Uram.
But you know what? And the thing about it is, Dave could care less how you feel about it. Like that's the thing that I like about
that's
his.
That's what
questions.
I need in these reports.
He could care less. He has no ties to nobody. He just wants the questions answered. And if you don't answer him, he's going to ask another one that's going to make you even more uncomfortable.
And while we're in the business of keeping tally, given the article that came out about the Eagles' interest in Bill Belichick.
They had real interest.
We did have Howard Eskin tell us that there was zero, none.
See, now that's petty. That
no,
what he
no,
just
we,
did,
we keep score around
no,
here.
But no, that's what factual, Kyle just did was petty.
It's factual.
Yeah, okay.
Is it not?
I mean, but it's petty.
I mean, Howard has been called the insider of the year. Yeah. If we missed one, that hurts.
Falsification of information.
Well, just to defend myself here, you said it was petty for me to do that. If Howard had nailed it and been right, he would never let us hear the end of it.
This is true. This is true.
It's about accountability.
Yeah, this is true. I get it.
Thanks,
you know, I mean, I'm just saying, but it is. It does underlie petty just a little bit.
So that's what we do on the show.
I'm just saying it's part of the core
listen,
values.
This station,
I just felt like pointing it out.
We're the pettiest show on WIP.
Oh, there's no question. This station began to keep the teams accountable, but we got to watch the watchmen.
Yeah,
we got to
watch
each other
watchmen.
Accountable
yeah,
out here.
I got you.
215-592.
He ain't said nothing about that either, huh?
Come down and beat that fat ass.
Always calling me fat, but he ain't said nothing about that, huh?
He did not. All right, we'll get to all your phone calls in the final hour. When we come back, your calls, and you know what we do. The Daily Mock at 1 o'clock, including a visit to the Eagles that is very interesting. 215-592-9494 for a midday show. Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.